You're listening to the Muggo Story Podcast. So today I'm doing something a little bit different. Came up with this idea of doing kind of an ongoing series called The Accelerating Man. And basically what I'm doing is just interviewing the guys that are kind of in my life in one form or fashion. And most of the men that I surround myself with are the type of guys who are seeking to accelerate in some aspect of their life. And so the idea is to talk to each of these guys about that, and, you know, maybe share a couple lessons learned here and there with a broader audience. So to help me kind of get this started off, I couldn't think of anybody better than my own dad, Joe Gopinski. Welcome.
Hi, Dad.
So, hi, guys.
Hi, guys. So we're going to give this a shot, you know. Kind of treating it as a practice run, but if it turns out well, then we'll post it and you'll be hearing me ramble about this. So I've just got kind of a list of questions and we'll talk about some different things and just kind of see where it ends up. So hope you boys enjoy, boys and girls, I guess. All right, Dad. So
Sam,
the first question that I put out there was just kind of real quick in, you know, a minute or less. What is the thing that you are currently working to accelerate in your life?
I had looked at these questions earlier, and I was thinking about it, and it didn't occur to me until I just got down here in North Carolina that I think I'm trying to accelerate my evangelism. I've, in the last several years, I've just been very fired up to reach the lost. Especially in this lost, dark world we live in, I say, I want to be a moon, but when I examine it, I am a moon. Mm-hmm. If I know Jesus is my Savior, I'm a moon. And what am I doing to reflect His goodness to those around me? So I'm working to accelerate my evangelism.
Good. So, I mean, being your son, I know kind of from my perspective what I've seen of your kind of your faith journey. We always grew up in the church and went to Sunday, you know, went to church every Sunday and mostly every Wednesday. so we kind of did the, you know, cross the T's, dot the I's part of the religion. Yeah. And I know just from conversations on our past, like you said, there have been times where you've kind of floated in and out of being serious about it. But I think within the last kind of since us kids started getting older and kind of leaving the house, I've seen your kind of faith journey go a bit deeper. And so maybe talk about that and what has your faith looked like up to this point?
Yeah, you're right, Sam. It's been about the last 10 years. I couldn't tell you exact, but I went around with the mentality of, you know, I'm going to turn over a new leaf now. And I turn over that new leaf and I'm going to leave those things behind that I know are wrong, but I don't seem to win the battle too often. And I guess I came to accept that as, you know, Christianity. And it couldn't be anything further from the truth. And I was miserable. And but I knew my faith was real, but I just could not make it over that, as you could say, maybe performance-based acceptance. Mm-hmm. Oh, I did bad today. God doesn't love me no more. Or I'm no good to Him, and so I wouldn't try, and I feel guilt and shame and chains it got to a point in my life that there was a distinct moment in my life. I remember being at a Bible study at a small group, and we were reading a book, The R12 Christian. It was by Chip Ingram, and it's about Romans chapter 12. And the first couple verses say, present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God. And in my version, I have a men's devotional Bible. In my version, it said, and be not conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that two words, any longer, hit me like a brick wall. I had seen myself, you know, well, I'm a Christian. I don't worry about it. But it was defeating me every moment, every day of my life. And it was like, yes, I was letting the world, I was trying to be like the world and letting those things be important to me. And at that moment it said, and be not conformed any longer, Joe, what are you doing? And that study in that book, that verse changed my life tremendously, because I recognized that, yes, I had the Spirit of Christ in me, and I was a believer, true believer, but I was just fumbling all over the place, up and down, up and down. And it was because I was allowing the world to run my life. Everything in the world was more important to me than the cross. You know, oh yeah, the cross is good, you know, Jesus is not fun, and I that wasn't my focus. My focus was every day trying to get through every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that portion right there changed my life, sent me in a new direction. And I thank God for every day. And then we started attending a new church. And boy, they can sing. I love the songs. And I was raised up in a, you know, a wooden pew, no cushions on the seat,
yep.
Wooden pews, and you sang the old rugged cross, and them are great songs.
The old hymns.
I look at them now, and I'm like, wow, how powerful they are. But they never made it past the page to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they started singing a song about my chains are gone, I've been set free. You know, I have no more guilt. I'm no longer guilty because Jesus took that. And I was always living my life in chains. It's like, why am I doing this? And I found freedom.
Mm-hmm.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. Free to what? Free to grow and start appreciating God, the deep secrets of God that He wants to make known to me. And I've been doing that. And,
well, and that's a great segue into kind of the back to the thesis is, you know, something that you're trying to accelerate is your evangelism. So it's like once your faith kind of took that turn, you know, and you talk about freedom, all of a sudden those shackles kind of fell off, and now you want to share that with other people. Yeah. So kind of tell me about that, and like, when did that kind of hit you, and how has that kind of manifested itself in your life?
Yeah, once I realized I had the freedom, I started growing in the Lord. You know, that's an easy thing to say, yeah, growing in the Lord, great, you know, but I really, really started to love the Bible and see the truths for what they were, personal. I remember seeing, if I can divulge a little bit, you know, a friend of mine sent me a text one day and said, "Hey, sorry to hear that your Steely Dan guy died." Because I'm a big Steely Dan fan, and Walter Becker died, and she put R.I.P. at the end of it. And I said, the next day I seen her at work, and I said, "Well, hey, what's this R.I.P.?" And she looked at me like I was nuts, which a lot of people do. But hey, all right, she rest in peace. I said, "Oh, you mean there is a rest when you die? There is a peace to be found?" And, you know, it's just a quip that people put out there, and they have no idea what they're saying. And did you know that there is a rest and there is a peace to be found? But it's only through Jesus. And I've had some great talks with her. She's been since moved on. But and then back in my a small group that we studied the Romans 12, our friend had talked about a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. And I took that as being a PIR. If you want a RIP, you have to have a PIR, a personal, intimate relationship. And I started working on that in my life to make it personal between me and my amazing Savior. And I fall short, but I'm not going back. No way.
So now that you have that deepened kind of faith, you know, what makes you want to share that with others? I mean, that's kind of a silly question, I know, but talk about that part of it, about kind of that overflowing out of you and into the lives of the people around you.
Well, it hit me one day about, in the past I have taken, you know, oh, that guy, he smokes, drinks, and chews, and goes with the girls who do. Oh, condemn him. And that's how I kind of looked at, you know, people who, you know, didn't measure up to the standards that, oh, boy, I do. It's kind of like the publican and the Pharisee and the, you know, and the, or look at me. And I lived that for far too long. And then my friend said one day, my good friend Jeff said to me, Joe, or he had an example. He says, you know, we have a little farm, and my wife said to me, well, Jeff, and they're getting up in an age, and they said, Jeff, if you really want to keep this farm, you need to get a bobcat, you know, to clean the stall and move the, you know, whatever you need to do, work on the barn and stuff. And you know, Jeff's, to set Jeff's surprise, like all of us husbands would say, what have you done with my wife? You want me to go buy a toy? Wow. You know, and it wasn't that so much, because they're a wonderful couple. And they said they started looking at their budget and that, and seeing what cost. They looked up prices on them and that, and they said, you know what, it's time to go to the grocery store. We got to go. We'll pick this up later. So they got in their car and went, they got to the end of the road, and there come a truck down the street with a bobcat. There's a bobcat. Look at that. And they got down the road, and there was another one at the shopping center working over on the tire place going in. And they seen another. And they said, you know what? We never noticed bobcats before until we start looking for them. And it's the same way with the lost. You don't see the people around you that they're lost and are on their way to an eternity without Christ. And you don't see them until you start looking, and they're everywhere. And that right there started me on my evangelism thing. And since then, I've just been, I have a heart for the lost. I have a heart for those who I just see going through this life like I was, and not being able to put the puzzle together. I always say there's three kinds of people. There's a people who, you know, take their hands and, you know, shove away, like, ah, get out of here. I don't need that, as far as Jesus. Or there's people who take their fists and shake their fists at them, and like, I don't want him authority over me. I'm the boss of my life. There ain't nobody going to be my boss. And but then I say there's another people who hear the gospel, the good news, and they raise their arms to heaven, and they receive it joyfully. And thank God he's opened my eyes to see that. And I want that for everyone around me. And then when I talk to people, I see another person. I didn't realize it until I was into this, that I see people who, you talk to them about Christ and the good news, and they start scratching their chin like, what about that? And that's a great place to be. That's a good segue to having that PIR that I talk about. So, yeah, looking for bobcats, really, because that just opened my eyes to the need around me, and it kind of washed away my judging people for a long-haired hippie with the, you know. And yet, you look at the long-haired hippie or whatever, and he's got a tattoo of a cross on his shoulder. It's significant. And I just want to share that story of the cross. So, yeah. In a roundabout way, that's how I did it.
So, tell me about, you know, now that this is something that you're focused on and something that you think about a lot, you know, what are some of the kind of the fruits of your labor? I mean, have you enjoyed any sort of success with evangelism? We'll talk about your successes, but we can also talk about challenges and failures as well.
Yes, I've had opportunity to speak with people. I think I've learned that right up front, you can't, you know, this isn't an argument to be won. I'm not out there to argue with people about, I want to have a discussion, you know, about it. And I want to be gentle. I want to be, you know, treat them with respect. But I want them most of all to see the fruit in my life, that the Bible has just grown me, has grown within me. And I act differently. I don't act the way I used to. And you know, I dare not say that I'm doing well in that, but I'm doing a lot better because, you know, I fall every day. But around people, especially where I work, wherever I'm at, I try to earn their respect in the way I live my life. And there's a verse that says, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who sees the hope within you. They see it. And it doesn't say, go and shove it down their throat. No, it says, be prepared to give an answer. So that's where I'm going right now. I think the fruit in my life right now is that I love the Bible. I love the listening to God's word and gleaning from it. And it's such encouragement. Such an encouragement to me. But I've talked to many people. One of my friends came to know the Lord. And for me, that's fantastic. Their eyes were open. It's amazing to see someone, oh, wow. And give their life to the Lord, and then watch her grow, and keep sticking with it. Instead of, you know, oh, I got to sign this card, say this prayer, and then I'm good. Okay, I got my fire insurance. Let's move on. No, I see a difference in her life, and that for me, it's just the whole ball of wax. My successes. I see growth in my life. My wife tells me she sees it. People around me tell me they see it. If I was to judge myself, you know, I'm a browbeater. I beat myself up. But I'm excited to talk to people about it. So
what about the other side of that? Any sort of challenges or failures that you've had from that? I mean, sometimes talking about religion, about the Bible, about Jesus, can turn people off. And, you know, it can sometimes be a little bit of a risky proposition to get into those sorts of discussions, because you view it as a discussion and somebody else views it as an argument, right? So have you ever had any sort of issues like that where you've lost friends maybe, or where you've had to make sacrifices because of this choice to do this?
No, I haven't lost any friends because I don't believe it's a scream and holler at people. That's the one thing I will not put up with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're my favorite preacher of all time. You start screaming at people, I'm done. I won't even listen to that. So I try to be gentle. I try to just tell my story to people. Man, I went to my men's group this morning, and they just talked about that, about the sun rising and the glory of God is all around us. And they kind of look at you like, but I open it. And sometimes they reply, and we can have a little bit of discussion. So I put it out there that I am, here I am. I am what I am. And if someday you want to talk about these things, we can. Mm-hmm. But I keep doing that. Some of the failures... the failures I think I have is, like right now, trying to put into words what I want to say to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on that. The last 2 weeks, I've really been working on how to present the good news as good news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, I found a cure for cancer. I want you to have it. Wouldn't I do that? And this is so much... It's no comparison. There's no comparison to eternal life and eternal damnation. So my failures are that I beat myself over my head about I haven't prepared myself as much as I ought to. And yet the Lord's been teaching me that, Joe, it's not you. If they see the best of you, big deal.
Right.
Oh, look at the best of Joe. Isn't that great? I don't want them to see that. I want them to see Christ in me. I want them to see Jesus. And I realize that the power to turn people's hearts isn't within me. It's only in His Spirit. And, you know, I go back to the moon. I'm a moon. I want to be a moon. I am a moon. And the moon has nothing in it. There's no power in the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a piece of burnt whatever. And but the only light that comes from the moon, the power, is a reflection of the real light. And I keep reminding that in my own mind, that I've got to be a reflection in my life that shows Christ, not the best of Christ, not the best of Joe. And we talk about we talk about the love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And you hear that a lot in this whole discussion. We find ourselves here in 2020, and you know, we need to love our neighbors. But I think we get it backwards. I know I've gotten it backwards. I got the horse before the cart before the horse, so to speak. Whereas when I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, it flows naturally out of me to love my neighbor. And it's that love that's powered by God that's going to make a difference in my neighbor's life.
Right.
Not my paycheck or not my... Now, you need to do those things too. But it's... Where's your starting point? For me, it has to be that I've got to love my God with all my heart, strength, soul, and mind. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking, kind of listening to what you have to say. And I think just thinking from my own perspective, there are times where, you know, if I'm in a conversation with somebody about God, I'm not really all that comfortable evangelizing. I just don't. And I think some of that has to do with the fact that I feel like I've got a personal responsibility to kind of walk the walk before I talk the talk.
Yes.
And when I fall short of walking the walk, I don't, you know, I feel guilty for trying to talk the talk.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, especially when you make that decision, like evangelism is something that I want to do. I want to talk to people about the law, about two lost people, about God. I think the devil, you know, will kind of single you out. He wants to squash you. He wants you to keep you silent. So, you know, do you have those sorts of, I guess, fears or that kind of guilt complex about, you know, how am I going to talk about God because I'm, you know, I'm no better than any of these other guys?
Yeah. Yeah, I dealt with that for years, and that's why I would not open my mouth.
Right.
Because I wasn't walking the walk. I was allowing the world to conform me instead of letting the Word of God conform me and transform me. And when I finally got to that point in my life, and then moved on and started to see myself walk the walk I was supposed to be walking with Him, it just gave me the confidence and the boldness. And then God turned my heart, you know, past that point. He turned my heart to the lost. And I can't do anything but feel for them. You know, and then the Bible says, go into all the world and make disciples. It's not just for the preachers and the people who know it all. It's every Christian's responsibility to spread the good news of Christ in your heart. And I think that's where the devil gets us. He says, you're not good enough. You're not walking it good enough. And and at some point, I wasn't. I couldn't tell people, you know, anything because I, you know, you better than I am. I was just like them. But so that fear had come in. Now, do I still battle with that today? Yes. Because, you know, I on our walk today, down through the thing, there was some pretty scantily clad gals out there. And I could have just went over and just turned my head and watched them. And that'd be okay, wouldn't it? No, that wouldn't have been right. And I purposely didn't even look that way. But I'm tempted with that all the time. Oh, I think all men are, if you're, you know, alive. we tempt it. And that's just a small part of it. But, you know, you see injustices at your job or you know, in the world or whatever, and you can get all fired up about it and you know, blow your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that several times at work, and I had to go apologize to people and tell them that's not the way, you know, my Savior would want me to behave. And that was hard to do. But, yes, I do have guilt feelings that maybe I'm not pure enough to speak to people. And then I just put that behind me. And if there's something in my life that's wrong, I confess it. And one thing that's helped me tremendously, and I'm going to put a plug here, every morning at 9 o'clock, I get a break. I work at a greenhouse, and I live down the street 3 minutes. And I go home for break every day, which is wonderful. Very thankful for that. And I turn on Moody Radio, and Focal Point Ministries, Mike Fabares, has a 20-minute little podcast. And it is amazing. And he is very evangelistic. He puts it in such a way that it's not, he doesn't guilt you into it. He encourages you into it. Come on, people, let's go. Look at what we have to offer. So every morning at 9 o'clock, I try not to miss. And if I do, later on that day, at evening, I call up Alexa and say, open one place and play this, and I listen to it. You know, I come home at 9 o'clock sometimes, and I've really screwed up. But I don't let that stop the Word of God speaking into my life. Mm-hmm. And when I do that, the power of sin or the power of whatever is trying to get a hold of me just kind of moves away. And I get a clear perspective on what exactly I'm doing. I'm not planting a billion poinsettias today. I'm rubbing shoulders with people who need Jesus. And it doesn't matter if we tip the card over today. Oh, boy. It stinks, but so I feed myself as much as I can to build myself up into being a powerful asset. I don't know if it's an asset, but be a powerful Christian soldier marching as to war, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back to something you said a little bit ago, and if I can kind of summarize it, I think this is like a really powerful point. You said, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically you said, walking the walk gives you the confidence to talk the talk. And I think that is such a cool, cool thought that, you know, when it comes to evangelizing and it comes to talking about God and your relationship with Jesus, and you know, your confidence in that is what keeps you going, which is just really cool. I mean, that's just a really cool thing. So last question, kind of wrapping it up. What is the motivation that keeps you in the fight?
You know, I think it starts out with the verses I said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. The very first word, love. Do I really love God? Do I understand what He's done for me? And I've just, God's given me a much clearer vision of who I was and what He has made me. And I can't, that just doesn't let go of me. So first of all, I look, like I said, I mentioned the cross earlier. The cross is all that matters to me, because without it, I'm nothing. But what's motivating me? Number one is that. Other things is that I put myself in places that I am encouraged, I am bolstered, I am encouraging others and picking each other up. When you're in that kind of a, shall I say, family or team, it makes all difference in the world. I tell you, every morning at 9 o'clock, I do not want to miss it. Mm-hmm. And it is so encouraging to me. And I've told so many people about it. I've even told people who are searching. I don't know. I said, well, then go to the station, listen to this. And then I go to a men's group Wednesday morning. We meet every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. What? I'd go at 4 if it was there. And there's only a few of us. And this whole COVID thing has kind of knocked us around. But we go through, it's called a SOAP. And we're just going through 1 Peter, just started 2 Peter. And we'll read like 20 verses together in like 2 versions. And then we all shut up and we write down our thoughts. And it's amazing what the guy to your right sees and the guy to your left sees. And then what you see out of it. And you share it. And it's like, oh, I never looked at it that way. I didn't see it. And when it all comes together at the end of your 20-minute discussion, you're amazed how powerful God's word is. And so I put myself in that position on Wednesday. I've joined a small group, And we were leaders there for a short while. I'm not the greatest. I don't like to lead. I like to come alongside and help people out. I'm the best helper you'll ever find. Maybe I'm thinking too high of myself there, but I'm not comfortable in the leadership department, actually. I've always said I'm a servant. So in our small group, I love to come alongside and grow with these people. And many of them have just been saved in the last couple of years. It's amazing. It's so exciting to see their lives growing in Christ and what they came from and what they've found. So I've tried to put myself in those places to build myself up. And I'm trying to do that so that when I am out somewhere, wherever it may be, if I can be a light to someone around me. So that's what motivates me to continue to grow my faith and grow my understanding of the gospel, make it more clear to people, and most of all, just rely upon Him and His power to work in lives, because that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning that.
There are a couple of points that you made that I just want to go back and kind of reiterate, because it's something that, you know, I'm 33. Even at my kind of younger perspective, I've known this to be true. But when you are trying to accelerate with anything in life, you need that system. You need that team, that family, like you talked about. And so, you know, personally, me, I've found that with F3.
Yeah.
And that's faith, fitness, and fellowship. So all three of those aspects of my life are, you know, I'm working every day to try to accelerate those things. But it's really, really hard to do that by yourself.
Yes.
It's really difficult. And in fact, I would probably say it's even impossible. You can only go so far by yourself.
Yeah.
So that's the first point. And secondly, I hate to do this to you, but I caught you in a lie.
Imagine that.
You just said that you're not a good leader. And I would say that most good leaders start by serving others. So I will tell you from my perspective as your son and seeing you as a grandfather, your example is the greatest form of leadership that I've seen in my life. So please stop telling people that you're a bad leader, because that's not true. That's a lie.
Yeah. I don't say I'm a bad one. I just uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Well,
don't put me in charge.
The thing is, though, I mean, you're doing a hell of a job. So we'll just put that out there.
thank you, Sam.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your leadership. But yeah, I you know, just to kind of close this up, I think thank you first for doing this with me and talking about this. You know, you're kind of a natural fit for the very first one of doing this, because, like I said, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I noticed a subtle change in you, and saw that religion wasn't just religion anymore. It was that PIR that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, you know, I can't get you to shut up about talking about God and Jesus and everything. But that is such a cool example for me to be able to see that and to be able to follow that. Yeah. And as a father of two young kids, that's what I want to bring to them as well. And, you know, I'm probably where you were when you were 33, but, you know, it gives me hope for a brighter future in my own life. So thank you again, Dad, for doing this with me. Yeah. I love you.
I love you, Sam.
So yeah, any last words before we jump off of here?
Yeah. Focal Point Ministries, Mike Fabares. Awesome.
You guys would not believe how many times Dad has told me about Mike Fabares. So just go check out Mike
check
Fabares.
Check it out.
Just check it out.
You'll be hooked.
All right. Well, guys, this has been the first interview, the first series of interviews that I'm going to do called Accelerating Man. Thank you for listening. And if you like this, please share it with your friends, subscribe, you know, all that good, happy stuff, because, you know, I think this has legs to be, to have some good impact in our community. So thank you, guys.
Accelerate.
It's so goofy.